right. Take your Bibles, please. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to read verses 9 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. 2 Samuel 7, 9 through 13. I'm going to do my best to get us out right at 7 tonight. Give me 5 minute leeway just in case. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. And as I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. Please, would you give us rapt attention as I try to convey to your people what you have for them tonight from your word. Please help us in a special way, our church at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll read one other verse there in 2 Samuel 7, verse number 16. Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. King David was sitting in his beautiful palace one day. He was looking at all the beauty and the comfort that he had around him and how nice and wonderful it was. It was no longer was he needing to move from place to place. He wasn't wandering in a tent. He wasn't going from from one place to another, having to pick everything he had up and move it. And he reflected on those days when Saul was chasing him, and he ran from cave to cave to cave to cave, and running for his life. Maybe it was all the nights that he stayed out under the stars as a soldier, but here he is in his home reflecting on all that he's been able to build for himself there in his home. As he sat in the comfort of his home, he realized God had allowed him to have a level of comfort and security, but God's house was still just a tent. It was just a tent. I'll use the word house or church, whichever you choose. David told Nathan, the man of God, how he desired to build God a house, a building. He told God's man how unfair it was that God allowed all of the people to have their own homes, and God never said, "I want you to build me a house." God came to Nathan, the man of God, and God spoke to Nathan that night in the evening time. If you read earlier in the chapter, verses 4 through 7, you'll find that God came to David and Nathan at night and showed him what he wanted. For 450 years, God's house was a tent. David so badly wanted to build God a nice house. He wanted his chosen people, though. God wanted his chosen people to have what they wanted first. And he didn't ask for what he wanted. Isn't it amazing? God allowed for 450 years or so the people to build their own houses and live in luxury, and he was satisfied with a tent. The day came that David said that he wanted to build God a house. Listen to this. God got excited. Can you imagine 450 years in a tent? Finally, somebody wants to give God something God wanted. Finally, someone wanted God to have what he wanted, a home for the church. God had been waiting very long, but he had never asked the people to care for what he wanted. He just took care of their needs. He didn't ask them to build him a house. He just asked for them not to forget him. But finally, David. David loved God so much. He said, God, it's not fair. I'm living in luxury and your house is a tent. It ought not be this way. And God told David, and by the way, David was God's friend. The friend of God. A man after God's own heart. David understood the heart of God like no other man had ever understood. Can you imagine how excited God must have been? Ladies, can you imagine living in a tent for 45 years of your marriage? And after 45 years, your husband says, I think it's time for us to get a house. You said, that wouldn't have lasted 45 minutes. And that's probably true. Recently, as I read this passage, God prompted me that this is a wonderful picture of Grace Baptist Church. We've been from rented hotel rooms to rented hotel rooms to crammed into a hotel room that wasn't big enough to be moral for us to fit in. Then we got this place, and boy, we were so excited. We had room to grow, and we had room to expand, and we had more room than we knew what to do with. We kept it going, and we've improved it, and we worked on it, and we did this, and we did that. And now we're about to leave it and go to another temporary place for a little while. But can I tell you something? We're about to build him a house. We're about to build a house to the Lord. Now, it's not going to be an ornate palace, but it's going to be a place for God. But can I tell you something? It's not the building where God meets us. God met with us in the hotel rooms. God's met with us in here. God will meet with us in the other rented facility. And God can meet with us in a new building on a new piece of property that's going to have his name on it. Title deed. Now, let me say this. It's time to build a house for God. I believe that. I know we're doing the right thing. I don't know if you understand something. I told Brother Stoltz, I'm probably, show my humanity here, I'm scared to death. You say, why, preacher? You don't just move a church from point A to point B and it all go like it's supposed to, usually. But it just seems like it's going that way. Every preacher, you sure you're doing that, Brother Bush? Yep, we're sure. God's still blessing. Amen. I got up this morning, got here early, and I said, God, I looked at that board out there with all those visitors. I said, I never want you to think I expect you to do this. I want to keep begging you to do it. But will you show me something today? Folks, we've had 10 visitors today. We had 8 people saved today. Can I tell you something? God's in it. God's in it. Don't you worry. Everything's all right. Say, are you still scared? Yeah. If you're not a little scared, something's wrong. But can I tell you something? God's encouraging me. Brother Ron, your mama today. She was the miracle I needed today. Man, we prayed that woman. She was here in angel's wings. Let me tell you, she was not well. If you knew what that lady's been through in the last 6-8 months, it's just unreal. She said, Pastor, can I tell you something? She said, I died once. She said, I literally could hear God's voice. She said, I left my body. I watched people work on my body as I was up over looking down on my body. She said, I heard God say, it's not time yet. You have a purpose I have a will. She said, and that's when I woke up back inside my body. She said, you know, I know when a man of God's preaching the right things because it's just like God when he talked to me. I said, how'd it go today? She said, I had shivers. I said, bless God. Can I tell you something? I needed that. Just to see her sitting right there was a blessing of God. A miracle of God. I believe God is very happy with Grace Baptist Church and what we're doing. God wants us to build him a house. He can get glory. He can get honor. He can get more people into his kingdom because of what we're doing. And by the way, he deserves far more than we can do, but we're going to give it all we got. Now, I want to take this. I want to give you about three or four thoughts here tonight, and we'll be done. But I just want to take some principles out of 2 Samuel 7, apply them to Grace Baptist Church, and I hope you'll see the blessing in this. Number one, God has a place. God has a place. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people. Can I tell you something? God has a place for us. There's 4 acres of ground. I've walked it. I've prayed it. Miss Joan, you've seen me out there at every hour of the day and night. Sometimes I probably shouldn't have been out there, but I've been out there, and I believe it's our promised land. Amen. I believe God has that for us. Praise the Lord. God has a place for Grace Baptist Church. Now, God has miraculously provided it for us. Folks, property right there is going for about $100,000 to $150,000 an acre, and we're getting 4 acres for $89,000. Okay? That just doesn't happen. So, well, it needs a lot of work. It's already got about $50,000 of the work done on it that we need to get done on it. God saved us that much more that the county's going to let us use. Praise the Lord. Now, we've got some money to raise. We've got some miracles to pray in. And it's strategically located right at the edge of the Berkeley-Jefferson County line to reach both counties. Amen. It's right near the Virginia line, the Maryland line. We're posed. By the way, all the growth is going that direction. There's plans while I've been in Jefferson County that they're talking about doing that if it goes in, that is going to go crazy around there. Can I tell you something? God's held it for us while we've raised the money. I can't tell you all the details right now. Someday I'll be able to. But God has held on to that piece of property for us at that price. God has a place for us. There is a place for us. And by the way, it's only temporary housing right now. Soon we'll have a permanent place. By the way, can I say this? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're not long for this earth. The last couple of weeks, I said, Lord, would you just come back so I don't have to raise all this money and build a building? Sure would make my life a whole lot easier, but he's just not in agreement with me right now. And that's all right. You say, that's the coward's way out, preacher. Call me a coward. I don't care. I'm excited, but I am scared. I'm not afraid to say that. You say, why? Let's put all that on your back and see how you do. All right? I'm human. I got to get up here and tell you this is what God wants. I know it, I think. You know, he didn't write in, the Bible, Grace Baptist Church of Kearneysville, supposed to buy this property at this address. It's not in there. But God has an appointed place for us. He has a place for us. Number two, I'm about to shout. Hang on here. I want you to keep reading. Moreover, verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people, watch this, and will plant them. Amen. Number one, that property was a place where they sold plants. Glory to God. That word plant means to strike in, like driving a nail into a board. It means to secure deeply or to root something, to hold it in place. God wants every member of this church to plant themselves in this church. Folks, can I tell you something? Quit deciding if you're going to pull roots up and go somewhere else. Just jump in, plant yourself, and get your roots in good and deep. Just enjoy it. I'm getting a little weary of this generation. We do okay till somebody says something we don't like. We get our feelings hurt. God said our heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? This preacher is going to say something to you, hopefully someday, to make you mad. You say, why? Because at least I'll know you're listening. So, well, I don't like that. Well, there's some things in the Bible I preach I don't like either. I don't understand it all either. But can I tell you something? Just because you don't like something doesn't mean, okay, I don't like taking vitamins. Bless you. I don't like eating certain foods. There's some things I do in life I don't like. Yes, there's certain roads that the speed limit, I think some stupid idiot put, it's at 25 mile an hour, it should be 45 mile an hour. But I drive 25 mile an hour in the 25 mile an hour speed limit. I don't like it, but I do it. I travel from here to Kentucky and all over Kentucky and back. And, you know, I never hit the brakes one time for a police officer. You say, why? Because they're driving the speed limit. Now, I hit the brakes real hard one time. My wife and I were headed to Josh and Ruth Ann's. We got to Huntington. I'm getting ready to come off 64 and go up 52, go up along the river to head up towards South Shore there. And all of a sudden, everything goes from 70 miles an hour to cars doing this in the freeway and stopping. I had two tires of my truck in the median, and my anti-lock going like this. And I look up, honest, cross my heart, hope Brother Stoltz dies. There were two turkeys laying in the road, dead, domesticated turkeys, white feathers. I mean, laying there with stiff legs, like this. And the highway traffic is stopping over two stupid dead birds. I got people about to slam me in the back. I'm about to take the car out ahead of me over two turkeys that people are trying to miss. I wasn't a happy person at that point in time. It took me 30 minutes before my heart slowed back down. I mean, that's as close as I've been to an accident in a long... And I mean, it was close. Oh, it was close. That far, and I bought the back end of a car. We're talking 3 feet or less. I was, you know, the cables along the median strip there, they were getting awfully close. You know, it was like, it was crazy. And I had my Bluetooth on, and I was talking to my daughter at the time. Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong? I couldn't even talk. It was like, she said, everybody okay? I said, we're fine now. I wasn't tired after that, Brother Mike. I was doing good. Now, wait a minute. God wants to plant you. God wants you to nail yourself into place. God wants you to nail your family into place. And some of you young people need to decide you're just going to pull up and sock yourself in deep. I know you're going to leave and go to college and that kind of thing, but this ought to be home to you. The devil has a lot of luxurious things out there, but it's astroturf. The grass might look greener, but it's fake, let me tell you. Been around long enough to know. God wants us to get new people and to plant them into place. It does my heart good. I was texting back and forth with a couple preachers today. I was bragging on Courtney and Rachel, and I was bragging on Larry and Sherry. I've got new members in our church that are now bringing visitors to church and bringing them back. I told a preacher today, I said, I'm not worried about the visitors. I said, God's taking care of that part. I'm just excited watching everybody grow, and you can't even measure some of that stuff. I was bragging on those two back there like they'll never even know. You say, why? Because, man, I was excited about that. That's exciting to me. You say, what is that? That's called getting planted, amen? Now, don't just plant in. Get involved and become fruitful. You know, you can plant something. It might look good, but it doesn't do anything. God wants us to plant something that's more than just beauty. He wants it to be fruitful. He wants it to be able to produce fruit. That means this. Be at every service you can possibly be at. Start bringing visitors. Start getting excited. Start getting involved. Start going soul winning. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. God says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You start investing your money, your heart will stay with your church. I promise you. I'm not asking for you to give more money than you're supposed to give. I'm just asking you to be obedient. I'm not a money-grabbing preacher. I cut my salary so that we can do what we're doing. It's fine. Cut it again. I'll go get a full-time job if I got to keep this thing going. I'm not worried about it. I'm really not. But listen to me. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Everybody doing all right? Where your time is, your heart will be also. We will not be known as a famous mansion or castle. But I sure would like to be known as a famous hospital. A Johns Hopkins. A Mayo Clinic for spiritual needs. A place where people will come from all over to get help. That's what our church is. That's what our church is. Number three, and I'm hurrying. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, it took a little while before the house got built. Did you know it didn't get built in David's lifetime? God wouldn't let David build it because David was a bloody man. He had shed blood. By the way, not just from war, he was a murderer because Bathsheba's husband killed, Uriah. He was a bloody man from being a murderer. Everybody doing okay? Now, wait a minute. But God let David raise all the money and the supplies for it. He said, I'll let you do everything. You can draw up the plans. You can do everything. But your son will build it. You won't. You're a bloody man. There's blood on your hands. You can't do that. And he allowed Solomon then to build it. But it took years before it got built. Can I tell you something? Grace Baptist Church is for God, not for us. Josh is pastoring over in Kentucky. It's amazing. In that part of the country, every church has its own cemetery. He said, Dad, it's a shame. There's more people in the cemetery than there are in the church. He said, I was out so when he said, I got so frustrated. He said, well, we've been going to church. We know it's not what it should be, but Grandma and Grandpa used to be there. Mom and Dad used to go there, and they're buried there. And Josh said what he shouldn't have said. He said, well, dig him up and bring him somewhere else and come to the right kind of church. It didn't go over real good, but he said it. But you know what? He was right. He said, Dad, I could hear Brother Heil say that, and I just said it. And he said, I knew by the look on their face I shouldn't have said it. I said, no, you shouldn't. I said, but you were right. But don't say that anymore. He said, oh, I'm not going to. Wait a minute. God's house is for his name, not our name. Don't get impatient. Don't try to get ahead of God. Just keep doing what we are doing, and God will continue to bless his work in his house. We are going to build God's house God's way, not our way. I said this before, we're going to hire it out. You say, why? Because it's our job to go out and knock on doors, bring more people to church, not quit soul winning to start swinging hammers and start putting sheetrock up. It's our job to keep doing what we've been doing all along, and we'll let God take care of the rest. Yes, We're going to downsize a little bit. Yes, we're going to get a little more comfortable with each other because we're going to get a little closer. The chairs are going to be more of a pew than a chair. And we're going to pack people in. And we're going to, good night, we had 117 people here today, and I counted two dozen folks not here. And our new auditorium is going to seat about 80, 90 people jam-packed. Now, we didn't have 117 in here, but the day's coming where we're going to say, what are we going to do, preacher? We'll figure it out when it comes. But I will tell you this. When it becomes a need, God has a tendency to kick in a little harder, amen? He said, I'll supply your needs. Well, it's a need. We're just going to keep on producing and say, God, you got to do something. God, you got to do something. Everybody doing all right? Let's show God how badly we want it by obeying him. We'll produce and obey. Number four, and I'm done. Let's let God's name be magnified through this, not our name. Amen. Let's not run around saying, look what we're doing. How about we run around saying, look what God's doing? How about we not say, look what my preacher did? How about we say, look what God did? Amen. How about we not say, look what I did? How about we say, look what God did? Amen. You see, Grace Baptist Church is going to be a place where this book has its final authority. We're going to make our decisions based out of that book right there. Not what other people have done. Not what other Baptist churches have done. Well, I've never seen a church the color or the shape that we're doing. Don't you worry about the shape of the church or the color of the church. Well, I went and painted my living room that color. It's not your living room, it's God's house. Amen. Grumble about it now. Get it out of your system. You're not going to like it. Okay, but we're going to enjoy it anyway. Can I tell you something? I'm not worried about the color. Say why? I'm colorblind. Who cares? We were exchanging a suit coat for my son before graduation. And while we were in Lexington, one of the fellas that's taking a tour group out was there. And I got the Pennies there had two floors and the men's clothing was upstairs. As soon as you get to the top of the escalator and turn left, they had all their suit coats on sale. There were bright pink ones and green ones. And they had one. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And my wife will correct me if I'm wrong publicly, but it was pink and blue and green checked. I said, Brother Davis, why don't you get some of the... I said, are those the ones for tour? He said, mm-mm. I said, why not? I said, I think the guys would look good in it. He looked at me, and then he starts laughing. He said, maybe you ought to get one for me. He's a pretty large fella this way. And I just started laughing. So I saw him at graduation. He said, hey, did you buy one of those coats? I said, mm-mm. Not me. I'm not kidding. They were hideous looking. They were bad. They were really bad. It was funny. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Let's not worry about, in the new place, are we going to have enough room for? No, you're not, so don't worry about it. Well, I can't believe we're downsizing so much. Folks, this building is 37,000 square feet with 30-foot ceilings. Okay? No matter what you go into, unless it's a football stadium, it's going to be downsizing. Let's just face it, all right? So don't let it bother you. Did you know it's not the building that matters? It's us. It's not the building that obeys God. It's people. I'm going to say this. We might not be popular with today's culture. I don't care. I don't want to be popular with today's culture. Soul winning is going to be the center of everything we do. Seeing people get saved is a part of everything we do. Now, I believe in having fun. I like the treasure hunt. I like what we did with the kids today. I like the fact that Brother Gus and Miss Kathy survived junior church today. I enjoy teen activities, and I like having fun, and I like the men's activities, and you ladies like the ladies' activity and doing all kinds of stuff with forks and everything else that you did, and I'm for all of that, but the whole purpose is to see people get saved. Strengthen us, encourage us, keep us going so that we can go out and get more people saved, bring more people in, see more people get saved so that they can go out and get people in and get people saved, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. That's what it's all about. Everybody doing all right? Grace Baptist Church is going to be a place where eternity has changed, not just today. You know those eight people that came to church today that weren't saved, got saved? Do you know that they're never going to die and go to hell because they came to church one time? I have one thing to say to my critics that say, well, you're bribing people to come to church. That's the best way I know how to say it. Can't spell it, but I can say it. Well, they didn't come for the right reason, but they got saved anyway. Who cares? You know, your bank doesn't see you coming and say, I don't think you ought to deposit your money here, because you're not coming with the right attitude and the right spirit. Say, that's silly, Brother Bush. Yeah, who are you to judge somebody's motive anyway?
That's right.
I'm having fun. We need to obey God and let God take care of the increase. There are ways this church increases that you can't see. You can't measure every person's growth here. You can't measure how much more you're doing for the Lord all the time. But may I say this? Just keep obeying. Let's quit looking at other people saying, well, I wonder if they're growing as much. I'm not sure how much they're growing in the Lord. Who are you to judge anyway? You got enough to take care of yourself there. Let's quit worrying about everybody else and let's just do what we're supposed to do. Did you know not everybody's going to like what we do? As I told my daughter the other day, like water off a duck's back. I don't care. I've had people not like what I do for a long time. I'm not worried about what everybody else says. I'm supposed to try to please him. It's for him, not for me. It's for him. It's not for me. Grace Baptist Church is a place where every changed life is going to be for eternity. And that's what you've got to realize. Let's keep obeying God. So I want you to notice something. God wants to plant us. He has a place. He wants to plant us. It's going to take it a while to get done. God's name will be magnified forever. Can I tell you something? If God tarries, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren should still be going to the same type of church we have today. Might be larger, more people, new faces, but same kind of church. That's our goal. You know, my goal is not for Grace Baptist Church to do well as long as I'm pastor. I'm hoping it goes for generation after generation after generation after generation. As long as the Lord tarries, that's how long it's supposed to last. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Grace Baptist Church, we're about to transition. I think each and every one of us ought to renew ourselves with new resolve that we are going to keep doing our part to keep this work going. We're going to plant ourselves, nail ourselves in, and get the work done.